You read the Bible, Rick.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's past.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Stuntsy pitches, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Those kids are too young. I need to be able to yell at them.
You think you can yell at, like, a 12-year-old kid?
I think I feel better about yelling at a 12-year-old kid than an 8-year-old kid.
Are you kidding me? Dude, hold on. Why basketball goes all the way through high school? You can coach middle school. Why basketball?
Dude, they got to be young enough for me to mold their minds.
Oh, okay.
I definitely want to coach a Little League.
I wouldn't want to coach a Little League team. UIF?
Fuck that. I would hate baseball than I do any other sport. So it'd be easier
I would hate coaching Little League to, like, look at the kids and, like, actually, like, know baseball. Then you'd be like, oh, you guys fucking suck.
That's exactly what I'm thinking this whole time.
You all fucking suck.
I would say the same thing if I were playing, like, basketball or football, though. I'd be sitting there just like,
you know how, like,
oh, gosh, you all are so fucking terrible. I understand that you're 8, but, like, stop being so bad.
You know how, like, when you're doing, like, batting practice and the coach just kind of, like, lobbing them in there? I'd throw fucking heaters.
Oh, shit.
I don't care if I throw my shoulder out or not.
What the fuck is the, only time I think of rec sports, I think of...
Zach has a flask of Evan Williams in his back pocket, just fucking throwing heaters.
What the fuck is up with you guys and Evan Williams?
Dude, I feel like I would start chewing tobacco in the dugouts.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Dude, if I were to ever coach Little League, I'm going all in. You kidding me? I'm going full Terry Francona. I'm sneaking beers in the dugout. Like, that's not... I'm holding back.
I'm going to be the coach that dresses in full game day uniform, you.
I get the high socks, like the tie-dye ones everybody thought was so fucking cool.
Gary would come in from his fucking architecture firm, and all he would do is put on the Feral Market hat. I'm wearing the fucking jersey. I'm going to buy baseball pants and cleats.
Get in the teenager's umpire's faces and start covering home plate in dirt.
We're getting ejected from every game.
Reenact every good freak out from MLB history. The one where he crawls behind the dugout, grabs the like puppy bag and go, maybe we should coach a Little League team.
How hard is this to coach a Little League team? Like, are they desperate for coaches?
Dude, I can't imagine it'd be that hard.
They know nothing. Like, we can obviously teach them more than nothing.
It's usually, like, just, like, someone's dad that's like, oh, yeah, I guess I got some free time. Imagine, like, two people that come in there. I mean, they'd be like, why do you want to coach a bunch of kids? Like, just the love of the game, man. Just the love of the game.
Yeah, I've been following Johnny since he started playing baseball at 4 years old.
That's what we should do. We should go scout the farm and the games to see.
I've been following this kid for a while. I think he's gonna be some real heat in the next couple of years.
You got his stat.
You see Tommy over there? He has ADHD. But if you look at him, he's caught 12 butterflies this season. Kid's got hands.
No, don't worry. We're not photographing your kids for weird reasons. We're strictly scouting.
Carry around one of those like little books that has all the diamonds on it and like all the innings and shit.
Oh, man, this would be great.
That would be awesome. This is it, man.
I think that is like the peak of what my life would ever be.
That's the peak.
That's the peak.
I think it's a pretty good peak.
Let's be honest, it's half over anyways. So like,
I mean, there's just so much possibility.
I feel like kids would learn a lot from us.
Yeah, probably not the stuff they should, but...
We'll teach them a lot about life.
Coach, how come you come to the games and you're doing okay, but once you leave, you stumble out and you swerve when you're in the driveway driving the home?
I'll do what my dad always did and just tell him that Budweiser's ginger ale.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you drinking, Coach? It's ginger ale. Got it from the fucking snack shack. Don't worry about it.
Get the airheads and just fucking wobble them until it gets to one little ball and then pop it in your mouth. They left the Lord of the Rings in there.
No, I think it's Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. I mean, Gollum.
All right, yeah, those are recording now.
I just recorded all of that, so that'd be a good bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish you fucking were. That would have been an amazing intro. We've got Little League in there. We've got how Chris's dad hates him.
We could just start it by saying, start the podcast by doing the intro and then saying, all right, what next? That way he can just throw that stuff in there.
No, I'll just leave all this in there.
Just throw it in the way it is. That works.
It's not like we have this huge audience to appease. Like, we got a 1 star for a reason, Chris.
Yeah, but we also have multiple 5 stars.
For a reason, Zach.
Dude, I'm banking on this making bank. This is going to be my career.
Well, made exactly, what, -$300? So, we're doing good.
Yeah, you gotta spend money to make money.
It's true.
It's finance 101, jeez. Oh, the sweetest thing.
Well, when I did my Spotify Wrapped, Film and Loathing was my second most listened to podcast. So
behind Joe Rogan, I assume.
Behind Film Junk.
Dude, Joe Rogan got $100 million for that.
Mm-hmm. Is it a time frame, or is that permanent?
They know he is now an exclusive partner of the Spotify.
Yeah, but is that like a time thing? Like, is he getting $100,000 over like 6 years, or is he
permanently through Spotify?
I thought you read the nature of the deal.
I would imagine it's a lump sum of money, so that they can just, it'll just be there forever.
That would be a bad deal.
So does that mean he no longer has ads?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it on Spotify.
I'd imagine he would.
9 times out of 10, I just throw on the YouTube video while doing something else.
I mean, the amount of money he was probably making off ads before, I can't imagine he was getting rid of the ads. Then again, he's probably not.
I mean, he's been very upfront about it, that like he did it because they gave him a lot of money.
Yeah. He's in this podcast for the money. Plus, he probably likes having access to talking to the people that he can talk to.
I would like to check out the Kanye interview just for the hell of it.
I listened to some of the Killer Mike one yesterday, and the other day, and it wasn't as good as I was hoping for.
Oh, that's a good one. Or is it? Wait, is it a newer interview or just the older one?
The older one.
Yeah. Okay.
Dude, you gotta listen to the ones he does with Duncan Trussell.
Duncan Trussell, is that the?
That guy's hilarious.
Is that the guy who did Midnight Gospel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did Midnight what?
Midnight Gospel, that TV show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for a second season of that show.
Are they going to do a second season?
I fucking hope so. Shit, I need to stop swearing. I feel bad for swearing in front of your parents.
You're not in front of them, they're not in here.
No, but they could probably hear me. Think so?
No.
Do you swear?
In front of my parents?
Yeah.
Every day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, man, my mom would... Oh, my mom has smacked the shit out of me.
I would say my most used phrase in general is "for fuck's sake." I say that in front of them all the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Chris, I'm an adult. I'll say whatever I want.
Yeah, I'm barely an adult though.
That's, I mean, you're not wrong.
Like, physically, I'm an adult. Mentally, I'm still probably, like, 16 and a half, 17 years old.
You ain't lying.
Just means I got a whole lot of potential, guys. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Is that what you keep telling Melissa so she doesn't leave you?
Fuck.
Baby, I got a lot of potential.
That's a good one.
All right.
Better Patter, let's get at her.
You watched that yet?
The third season.
Nice, dude. I love that show so much.
What show?
Letterkenny.
Oh.
I remember there was one time we had I had a genuine moment where somebody walked in the door and they're like, "Chris, how are you now?" And I was like, "Not so bad."
Not so bad. Where were you? Probably out having a dart.
Out of a dart. Out of a dart. Get this guy a fucking puppers.
Katie, that's what I appreciate about you.
Take about 10% off there, Squirrely Dan. It's funny as shit. Anyways, Jake, you were saying, let's get started. Let's get at her.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hello, and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Sunday, December 6, 2020. This is episode number 91, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we have a review of none other than Fat Man, starring Mel Gibson. We'll also be talking about some other things that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. How are you guys this week? It's been a couple weeks.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
I'm doing all right. I'm just admiring the VHS collection right now. There's a couple in there curious about, but
oh yeah, so you got the Scorpion King. What else did you get, Zach?
Rocky 1 through 5.
On VHS.
Yeah, I have Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, okay.
I have Star Wars: The Phantom Menace.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, solid.
Batman Forever. Home Alone 3.
Okay.
Liar, Liar.
Okay.
Cliffhanger.
Okay.
The Cable Guy.
Yeah, Billy.
The
Madison
Wedding yet? Singer. Nope. Signs and Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Hmm.
I'm admiring a full collection. There's only one I don't know. What's Look Who's Talking?
It's the movie with the talking babies.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up, dude. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
I'm thinking of Genius Babies. Never mind.
Look Who's Talking? I don't even know if I've heard of that movie.
It's got talking babies.
That's badass. I'm down with it. He's got his VHS tapes on top, right below that on the shelf, his Criterions.
Oh, John Travolta? Interesting. Kirstie Alley, Bruce Willis? What?
Below that,
so random.
Prime books.
Yeah, that Blu-ray shelf behind you is in such disarray.
Dude, I want to sell it all.
You think there's $2,500 worth there to get that?
Sell the whole thing.
Do you think there's $2,500 there worth of Blu-rays to buy that van you want?
I don't think so. I'll probably have to put my own money into it.
Almost definitely. Sell your Criterions, though.
They all can't go in the van, so. I would actually get $2,500 just for Spider-Man 2 on VHS.
Probably. It's a collector's item. I'm gonna let this be known right now. The peak of your VHS collection is Happy Gilmore.
That's why it's on top.
Yeah. That is the absolute pinnacle of VHS tapes besides Tommy Boy.
I think that Scorpion King is pretty sweet.
Oh, Scorpion King's actually dynamite. Like, don't get me wrong.
Sometimes I like to switch it out. Like, I'll put The Wedding Singer on top.
Oh. My gosh, Adam Sandler has been at his peak for years.
The guy hasn't yet to peak, I don't think. He's still going.
Oh my gosh, yeah, dude. He proved this year. Still my number one movie of the year.
Holy Halloween.
I don't think anything can take its place. We still got a new May. And I do love David Fincher, but I'm sorry.
But let's be real. Who be Halloween?
Who be Halloween, motherfucker? It's the only five I've given out all year. I'm pretty sure I gave it a 5.5, didn't I?
I thought you gave it a 6.
I think I did give it a 6.
Well, then it has to be number 1.
I mean, it doesn't have to be. There's still room for another number 6 this year.
That's true, but this number 6 would have to be better than Who Be Halloween. Do you really think that's going to happen?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen, just like I know that there's never going to be a better basketball player than Michael Jordan or LeBron James, but...
I wouldn't be sure about that.
I'm very positive about that, but...
Never going to be one.
Never. There's never going to be somebody as dominant as those men.
You don't think Giannis will ever be as dominant as LeBron James?
No, dude. No.
I think you're a little fucking delusional.
I genuinely don't think... Am I saying that he's never going to be good? No. He's still won 2 MVPs. He's probably going to win 3 or 4, but he just isn't going to win the championships to keep track.
No, I mean, I think it's going to be the surrounding talent is the problem. You're looking at LeBron James and Michael Jordan both have had surrounding talent during their big runs for championships.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I mean, what's the farthest Giannis has gotten in the playoffs?
First round? Second round?
Yeah. He should be able to get to the conference championship. Dwight Howard got to the conference championship by himself. Young LeBron James got to the conference championship by himself.
It's a different game, bud. We're in a different game than that.
Oh my gosh, dude. I don't care. In any league, he's built for the league that he's in. He should be able to get to the conference championship in the East. And I want to know that I'm not sure if he has gone to the conference championship or not, but could make an argument that's completely invalid.
Didn't they lose to the Raptors in the conference championship?
I'm actually not sure.
Dude, Giannis is going to the Warriors.
I'd be pissed.
God, I hope not.
I'd be pissed. I saw him say that he is not going to retire out of the NBA until he wins a championship, though.
See me fucking 55.
I'd be pissed. Let me know when you sell these criterions. I'll buy 2.
You'll buy 2?
I'll buy 2.
Which ones are they?
I'll buy Parasite and I'll buy Anatomy of a Murder.
Why don't you just get them? Why don't you just go buy them, Crip, when they're half off? Did you buy Parasite? Did you buy Parasite on Criterion, Chris, when it was on sale?
No, I didn't.
I'm surprised.
I scrolled through, but I got there too late.
Do you have a crisp 20 in your wallet?
No. I have like $8 in my wallet right now.
I'm gonna cut it.
I know. I'm gonna buy it on Criterion because I want to see it in its peak quality, but I want to see the Tree of Life because I saw some of the shots from that movie in a little Instagram post the other day, and it looks beautiful.
I think you should watch it on Instagram.
I would. Dude, don't put it past me. Somebody post it. I'll do it. I've watched a movie on my forum before. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get Parasite.
I was going to, but then I saw it on my shelf, and I was like, I already have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I mean, I have it on 4K, and I bought it on Criterion.
I doubt the transfer's that much better, honestly.
Mm. I don't know.
It's about the features, man. It's got the black and white cut, too.
I don't want to see that. If you want a black and white cut, then you should have made that your cut of the movie. Sorry, Bong Joon-ho. Get the fuck out of here.
You can't have the best of both worlds.
I hate that shit so much.
Why?
Special edition of Logan, you can have the black and white cut of Logan. If you want a black and white cut of Logan, James Mangold, then make that the version.
The same guy who was advocating for the black cut of The Mist.
Yeah, okay, but okay, the black cut of The Mist is fucking dope.
But that was what he originally wanted. So it makes sense for that to have to exist.
Alright. I won't fight you.
I actually prefer the black and white cut.
Hmm?
I said, I actually prefer the black and white cut of The Mist.
Yeah, and you guys are saying that I didn't watch it in black and white, but kind of wish I did.
It's not too late.
I still think I still have that in my car. All the movies that I was going to get rid of are still sitting in a trash bag in my car. I could just
Were you taking the Blue Moose?
Just sitting there. I've had that, and I've had two bags of bottles in my car for like 2 weeks.
You should take care of it. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Chris, go sell those. Go sell those bottles and then get Parasite.
Maybe. Maybe.
Like, chip, dude. Turn bottles to buy Modern Warfare 2.
Dude, that was a good investment for him, though.
That's 2 hours of his life he'll never get back.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Well, let's talk some Fat Man here. Great. That's a good name for a movie. Let's see. Fat Man is directed by Eschen and Ian Nelms. Stars Mel Gibson, Walter Goggins, and Marion Jean-Baptiste. Plot synopsis is, to save his declining business, Kris Kringle, also known as Santa Claus, is forced into a partnership with the U.S. military. Making matters worse, Kris gets locked into a deadly battle of wits against a highly skilled assassin, hired by a precocious 12-year-old after receiving a lump of coal in his stocking. What did you guys think of Fat Man?
Go ahead, Kris.
Stupid. This movie's stupid, dude. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just stupid. I personally like Mel Gibson as the Fat Man. I don't like anyone else, though.
I thought Walton Goggins was good. I can't stand the kid. And I understand that's kind of the point. But I just felt like there was way too much of him. And, like, I think it was a terrible performance.
Making him like a reason why this assassin goes after Santa, I understand. You don't need to have the personal connection between him and Santa Claus because I feel like that's adding an unneeded dynamic that just serves no purpose with no payoff.
What kind of doesn't make sense to me is like building up this Walton Goggins like character. Then, like, it seems like you get a lot of unnecessary kind of, like, backstory about that character. Like, it kind of seems like they thought they had some interesting things, like, some interesting story bits about the Walton Goggins character, so they included it, but none of it really seemed, like, that important. Like, the fact that he collects, like, original pieces made by Santa Claus, like, I mean, I like that touch, but it just seems way out of left field and completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was something like Walter Goggins was the one who personally had the vendetta. So he, like, had gotten fucked over as a kid and dedicated his entire life in trying to track down Santa Claus to kill him.
Which I would be fine with that version over what we had got.
He did it so easily. Like, he tracked him down so easily.
Well, I think that's kind of, like, what the movie does pretty well, which is it kind of grounds it in a bit of reality. Like, Santa Claus, like, is not this big mythical creature. Like, he is a real person who has a real life and, like, a real responsibility of, like... So, because his declining business, he has to accept this military contract.
Mm.
And, like, I kind of like that reasoning of, like, there's just no more good kids in the world. They're all bad, so no one gets toys.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Like, I love when he turned on the radio and it's just nothing but reports of children being bad.
I thought it was a cool touch for him to come in contact with like every single person he saw and be like, Timmy Fellows, good to see you again. We were touch and go there for a while. Like, that was funny.
I do think, like, Mel Gibson is fantastic.
Yeah.
As Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, but at the same time, I was expecting it to just be god-awful. And I kind of enjoyed myself watching it.
Oh, I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's, like, pretty fun.
There's a possibility that I might figure out a way to put this as number 10.
Like, I think it's... it takes itself seriously enough for it to work, but it understands that its premise is ridiculous.
Right. Like, I definitely love the idea of a declining business, so he's, like, making military weapon, like, or, like, airplane technology.
I like that. I like that, too. I have a hard time with Walter Goggins' character the entire movie. Like, I like, if the movie was made strictly about him and they were using the kid as a way to get him to go after Santa Claus, I find that very interesting. Just making Santa this complete and total badass and making it like a spy versus spy type of deal, that'd be interesting. But, like, I don't like the idea that the guy literally made it through an entire army to get to Santa Claus. Like, what the fuck?
He's a trained assassin, dude.
So he can take on a whole army? Like, you mean to tell me that they're not going to protect their investment enough to the point where they're going to have one man be able to take them all out?
Chris, that makes no sense. It's called suspension of disbelief because it's a movie about a guy trying to kill Santa Claus.
Then make it realistic.
One of my favorite touches was, like, how he finds him by, like, going to the post office and, like, interrogating the head guy and figuring out where they send all the letters to Santa.
You would think they would shroud it in a little more secrecy, though.
Yeah, Chris. That's the problem with this movie. None of it just felt realistic to me.
All I'm saying is that if you're going to base Santa Claus in reality, make it fucking realistic. If you're going to make him an average person, or maybe not an average person, but you're going to make him a human being.
Well, it is still, like, mystical enough.
It's mystical enough. Like, it's not mystical at all.
What are you talking about? He literally, like...
The elves are based in reality. Like, they're very, like, yeah, we got to be really efficient. Like, they're acting like humans. They're not, like, sitting there just like, oh, man, I can't wait to make Christmas go on. It's going to be so exciting. Like... Yeah, you're sitting the whole time with a clipboard just like, yep, we eat this food, we eat this sugary dessert because we need to eat simple carbs and sugars so that we can get a 2-hour nap at night and we can keep functioning for 24 hours.
I don't know, Chris. I think you're being a little harsh.
I think they just base it in reality without going the full step. Give me that full step. Let the ridiculous plot ride you in how ridiculous it is.
I think it rode you the wrong way.
I think it did, too.
Like I said, I didn't think the movie was bad.
I just don't think Chris is going to have a good time at the movies anymore.
Oh, man. It's been a shit year for movies, guys.
I'm sorry. I thought Chris would have loved it.
I liked Santa Claus being a complete and total badass.
I liked him being a drunk.
I like the idea of, like, I like the idea of people, like, trying to shoot down Santa Claus. So he's like, he's got fucking shrapnel on his side. He comes back from delivering toys.
Still finished the whole night.
I love that when, like, Walter Goggins up, he's like, you think I'm in this position because I'm fat and jolly?
Like, there were other guys that were riding sleighs around the skies delivering presents to people.
Well, I just love the idea that other people have tried to kill Santa, so he's just hardened.
I wish they would have dove into, like, how was he chosen to be Santa Claus?
I mean,
like, it's kind of set up as, like, anyone could do it. So why him?
It's the giving that keeps him young. They give him a sense of mysticism, like he's been alive for like 400 years.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of glad that they didn't really spend a lot of time trying to give answers to things, because that's not why we're there. Let's be real.
I maintain that the kid is the worst part.
Like, the kid is the worst part.
Like the science fair, like him losing the science fair, so now he's gonna... So Walton Goggins, if I'm remembering this correctly, trained assassin, like, kills a bunch of people with ease at the end of the movie in this factory, but he's going to be hired to basically shake down a little girl to, like, say that she cheated. This is, like, one seems very extreme, and the other one just seems like, all right, you snot-nosed little shit. Like, I feel like you could do this on your own. You don't really need to hire Walton Goggins to do that.
I mean, like, he had the kid in his phone as, like, what, like, shitty kid?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, the thing that the kid sucked, and what the kid was having him do was, like, way beneath him. But I'd imagine the money was there for him to be able to do it.
I do like the scene where they're, like, the kid is, like, going over, like, oh, I want his head, or, like, oh, I want his beard. And, like, Walton Goggins just giving him, like, how impractical it is to do those things.
I'd have to cross national borders and three states to get that back to you, and it would take 2 weeks. It's not realistic.
The only thing I was thinking of was just, like, how did this kid even, like, find this assassin?
That's true. There's no, they did not establish that relationship.
Answers to a lot of these questions.
Although we are led to believe that he's done this before.
That he's tracked down Santa Claus, or that he's kidnapped girls?
Yeah, the kid has, like, hired him before.
Oh, yeah. Well, because he hires him to shake down that little girl, so it's just like, how'd you even guys meet?
That scene was kind of funny, though.
With, like, the car battery?
Yeah. He's sitting there just smacking them together, making it spark, and he's just like, you're gonna tell him that you cheated, or else. I'm gonna win first place at the fair, huh?
And then, like, for whatever reason, he tries to kill his grandma at the end.
Drinks the milk. Fentanyl. That should do it.
Yeah, pretty ridiculous.
I do think Mel Gibson has a great monologue at the end. He's fucking scaring the kid shitless. That's a great scene. And, like, his eyeball is, like, half out of his head.
I just like that, like, they kept it black. Like, they kept his eye black for the longest time, and at the very end, he moves forward to the kid's face, and then you can just see that, like, he's been shot in the fucking eye.
Gosh. You gotta rewatch Fatman.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, Chris, you need to get this one to go.
Best part of that movie, though.
I mean, he's the perfect fit for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to something, and they were saying they wrote this movie 14 years ago, but, like, no one was going to make it. And so they were like, well, who would have been your initial choice? Because 14 years ago, Mel Gibson really wouldn't have been your choice. And they said their original choice 14 years ago was Jack Nicholson. I think he's the only one that pulled off, besides Mel Gibson, like, the over-the-top nature of.
Well, I'm sitting there watching this movie the whole time, and I'm like, only two people would have done this role, Mel Gibson or Nick Cage.
Nick Cage would have been perfect.
I think
that the Walton Goggins character should have been replaced by Nicolas Cage.
That would have been amazing.
The hamster scene where Nicolas Cage just goes and he's just like, my mother had the same problem as you. She didn't know when to shut the fuck up.
Have you guys seen the previews for that new Nicolas Cage movie, Jiu-Jitsu?
No.
It looks insane. It's like a cross between, like, 47 Ronin and, like, Predator.
That sounds amazing.
I know. I really want to watch. It's got, like, 1.5... average rating on Letterboxd. I really want to watch it.
Oh, shit.
I mean, the movie's pretty progressive. I mean, Mrs. Claus is a person of color.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I wonder if that was in the original script.
I don't know. I didn't write it.
I would love to know how Santa Claus meets a black British woman. I am very curious about that.
That would be interesting.
If he's been alive for, like, 400 years, has she, too, been alive for, like, 400 years?
Maybe he just gets a new wife every 100 years.
Is that the thing? Like,
say, maybe it could be true. It could be he gets a new wife.
We know that he's been alive for a long time because of what that elf says. And when they're having that conversation, he's like, have we ever had a perfect year? And then he was just like, 1910 was pretty close.
I mean, I think we're supposed to just take from it that he just ages differently. Yeah. Like, he will die eventually, but he ages much more slowly.
I would like to see the movie where...
I mean, he's going to die even faster. He keeps drinking like that, but...
Yeah. especially fentanyl milk.
Sure, I would like down. To see the...
Just fucking bounds it, dude. Also, why does the grandmother have fentanyl pills?
Why is the kid trying to kill her?
I'm still calling her the fentanyl pills.
Wait, wasn't he trying to kill her because she found out that someone was forging her checks?
But how does that help him? Killing her?
Yeah. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Track it back to him at some point. I think he was just trying to avoid the inevitable. But, like, she just had didn't want his... full of fentanyl.
I mean, it's pretty crazy to begin with that, like, you literally got coal for Christmas, so now you're going to try to kill Santa Claus. But, like,
hilarious.
Get a grip.
Yeah. Kid needs to be punched in the face. I was waiting. I was just waiting for the moment Mel Gibson just clocks him a cold one right
okay,
in his
well,
face.
Okay, well, Santa Claus isn't a bad guy. You can't go around punching kids.
No, instead, yeah, you just go around intimidating with your empty eye hole.
Yeah, he's being scared straight, guy. You ever seen that show? It works.
Santa Claus is doing that.
I am here to scare you straight. you, my friend, would be the belle of the ball.
I would. I'll drag you out of your bed.
Now, here's a question. Does Fat Man now go into your list of yearly Christmas watches?
Not yearly, but it is on my new Christmas list.
Biannual? Do you give us a biannual Christmas watch?
Oh, sure. If I decide to do, like, an action Christmas movie night, I'll do, like, Die Hard and then this.
I will do Fat Man and then the Jack Frost horror movies. Killer Snowman.
Nice. I think they are releasing this on Blu-ray, so... There's a good chance I'm going to pick this up. Oh, yeah, it's out. January 26th. And it's got a great cover, too.
Is it the poster?
It's got, like, Mel Gibson's face in the background and, like, a little mini, like, Walter Goggins with his white coat and machine gun.
Nice.
Yep.
Cool.
Well, as expected, I have very little else to say about Fat Man. But great filler week, though. I gotta admit.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, I must admit.
It definitely was not as bad as I was expecting it to be.
Not even close. There are way worse things I've seen this year.
True that, brother.
I'm trying to find the poster for it.
Well, if you guys don't have much else to say about Fat Man, what are you guys going to give out of 5 stars?
I'll give it a 4.
Ooh, that's generous.
I go 3.5.
What? There's no way you're a 3.5. I'm a 3.5.
I enjoyed the movie. Just have a couple problems with everybody who's not Santa Claus.
I mean, I really hope this is a return to form for Mel Gibson.
You want this to be his return to form?
You gotta start somewhere.
What, is this his Lincoln lawyer?
Yeah, this is the
Lincoln. Oh, man. This is the start of the Gibson songs.
This is the fool's gold, my friend.
Fool's gold. Yeah, I'm sure.
Don't you mean Sahara?
Fat Man to Mel Gibson is what Ghost of Girlfriend's Past is to Matthew McConaughey. It's the revamp he needed.
It's the peak. It's the pinnacle. It's the top of his game.
You know, I kind of hate the phrase tour de force performance. I feel like it's disrespectful to the Tour de France winners. But this is probably a tour de force performance from Mel Gibson.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be right up there with Vince Vaughn and Becky. Or not Becky, Freaky.
I have yet to see that.
I would still like to see that.
It's playing in Orono right now.
What are you waiting for?
don't know.
I'm waiting to go to the movie theaters until this whole thing's over so I don't have a ruined experience.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
Though, although, I feel for the right movie.
Though, I'll be honest with you, I am really curious to see like what Warner Brothers doing with their HBO releases will do to things.
Oh, dude, I forgot about it. He was in Dragged Across Concrete. That's his fool's gold.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point. That was a really good movie. I really want to rewatch it, but it's like just so long.
Dude, I just rewatch the egg salad sandwich scene sandwich scene?
The egg salad sandwich scene? Which one was that one?
They're just sitting in the stakeout car and Vince Vaughn's eating an egg salad sandwich.
Oh, that's right. Mel Gibson's freaking out on him. He's like, why'd you bring egg salad?
Who brings egg salad?
It's a funny premise.
That movie's hilarious.
I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since we reviewed it, but I would like to rewatch it. I just need like a two hour and 45 minute block of time.
So like every day.
Not quite every day. Oh shit, Chris, you watched Enola Holmes?
Yep.
I want to hear about that.
You don't even know to get to let him reveal what he watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that. I knew everything I was going to watch up until we were supposed to record last week. And then I was just like, shit, I keep forgetting. So then I just decided to put a couple things in the letterbox. But everything I put in there wasn't everything I saw this week.
Makes sense.
I forgot of a couple things. It was weird. It was an animated movie.
What did you watch?
I don't remember.
Tell me about Enola Holmes. I'm curious.
Oh, okay. Enola Holmes. Too long. I do have to say, I did have a surprisingly good time with the movie. It was kind of fun, cheerful. I like
2 hours long?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's too long. It doesn't have that interesting of a premise. Plus, she breaks the fourth wall constantly.
Oh, like Guy Ritchie's?
Yeah.
Like, will this make a good... when I watch Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows, will this be, like, the perfect round-off?
No, because Sherlock Holmes is in this one, but he's played by Henry Cavill.
Can you reprise the role?
No. Although he would have made a more interesting Sherlock Holmes. I don't know. The movie was kind of fun at points, but it dragged on a lot at multiple points. And I wasn't interested in where it went. I wasn't interested in the premise of the movie. It was a coming-of-age movie, if it was anything. So I don't care.
Dude, you're a real buzzkill.
But the problem-solving was pretty cool. I was interested in that.
Dude, the director of that movie was MIA for 17 years. And then he resurfaced with Enola Holmes.
What did he do before?
I've never heard of them.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
One of them is called A is for Acid, and the other one is called The Brides in the Bath.
Don't call it a comeback.
Been here for years.
Do you think he made The Little Vampire?
Little do we know, he's been MIA for 17 years because he's been trying to get Enola Holmes made this entire time. And then Netflix saw they could get it for cheap, so they picked it up.
Hell, he's dedicated.
Dude, I gotta watch The Little Vampire.
What's The Little Vampire?
This movie.
Oh, shit.
Remember that fucking movie?
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
How do you forget about The Little Vampire?
Because it has that kid with the glasses that's in Stuart Little. And
Jonathan Lipnicki?
I hate Stuart Little. I hate it so much.
Did you see that they're releasing, that they're doing, coming out with a Blu-ray of Toys of Small Soldiers and Mousetrap?
Yeah.
What's Mousetrap?
The movie with They like basically destroy their whole house trying to trap this mouse.
I don't remember that one.
And like the mouse outsmarts them at every turn.
I remember Small Soldiers. That's the one about the toys, right? That like have the special chips in it that make them come to life.
Yeah. There's the Gorgons and like the army soldiers. Oh, sorry, not Mousetrap. It's called Mouse Hunt.
Has Nathan Lane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Nathan Lane. Changed my mind. Gotta watch that now.
Say my name, yeah, Nathan Lane.
I remember watching this a lot as a kid.
I remember watching Small Soldiers a lot.
That too.
I always wanted to have friggin' an alien action figure talk to me. I wanted my Bionicle to do that for the longest time.
Dude, it's like Toy Story, but cool. This is like, it's like Toy Story for the kids that grew up to listen to Seether.
Oh, man. Odd band choice, but I'm down with it.
But pretty spot on.
Is that you saying that you currently listen to Seether's?
It's like Toy Story for kids that are really big Five Finger Death Punch fans. It's like Toy Story but metal.
Toy Story for the kids that had pocket chains.
Dude, I'm gonna start using metal as an adjective.
So metal.
Dude, it's so metal.
Zach, Jake, did you watch anything this week? Yo, ask me.
You have long hair. Do you ever headbang?
Yeah, all the time.
Do you, dude?
Do you listen to Seether?
I wake up and blast Bohemian Rhapsody every morning.
Can't wake up. Do you listen to Evan? Was that an Evanescence reference?
Yeah, dude. Headbang every day.
The classic Daredevil soundtrack.
What's that?
Yeah, wake me up.
What? Suffocation. What's that first line, though?
Cut my life in two pieces.
I saw this meme, and it was this little baby with his parents, and the baby was just like, cut, like, cut, and the parents are like, oh, he's going to say his first word, and the baby goes, cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort.
Dude, I'll show you what Jacob plays every day when he wakes up.
Do you wake up to this, or does he wake up to this, or does he like...
This is his alarm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that Limp Bizkit?
Yeah. So fucking metal. Dude, I can't be like misremembering this. You guys remember like Fred Durst trying to fight Danny Bonaducci?
No. I don't remember who Danny Bonaducci is.
He's like from the Partridge Family, but he grew up to be like a drug addict.
What?
He's fucking insane.
Oh yeah, he's like really. Is he like kind of short, but he's like really ripped?
Yes.
What? Let me see. What?
Yeah, he like was gonna fight Fred Durst.
Like publicly?
Yeah.
In a boxing match or just like a street fight?
No, I think they were just gonna fight each other.
Oh man, I don't remember that at all.
Fred Durst. Yeah.
Not Fred Durst.
That's what I said. I'd fight Fred Durst if I had the chance.
Fred Durst would probably kick your ass.
You can try.
Also, I talked to my sister about this today, and she said she was going to join a kickboxing. Or no, this is how it started off. She said, Chris, what would you do if I just punched you in the eye right now? And I said, I would kick your ass. And she said, I was just like, Alex, Mom always jokes and says you're the toughest one in the family, but we all know that if you ever decided to fight me, I would straight up kick your ass. And she was just like, all right, Chris, I'm going to join a kickboxing league. And I'm like, and I was like, Alex, the day I find out you join a kickboxing league, I too am going to join a kickboxing league so I can still kick your ass. She was like, what if I started Taekwondo? And I was like, I'm not going to the Y anymore, so I'm going to learn jujitsu and kick your ass.
Dude, I think you should fight her.
If she punches me in the eye, dude, I'm Dude, I might just.
Say, okay, no jujitsu, no kickboxing. This is going to be straight Dota 5000 Kimbo Slice fucking background brawls.
Oh, man. If we got into the backyard and we had, like, a group of people around us and she punched me, like, dude, I might lay her out. I would kick her ass.
See, there's a guy I work with that's met Kimbo Slice.
I would always be intimidated. There was a video one time I watched, and ever since then I've been, like, frightened at the idea of beating Kimbo Slice, RIP. But the video was this guy paid another guy, like, $500 or something to be tackled by Kimbo Slice, and it was the most frightening tackle I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, I think his UFC career shows that you shouldn't be afraid of him.
Are you kidding me, dude?
I'd fight him.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
If Kimbo Slice came up to you right now and was like, we're doing this right now.
Yeah.
You'd throw hands?
Yes.
No, you would not.
Dude, this is the Ronda Rousey conversation all over again.
You'd be dead.
He could actually kick somebody's ass. You could not.
The thing with Kimbo Slice.
She's a trained person. She's won gold medals at the Olympics.
I don't give a fuck. Anyways, Kimbo Slice.
Right? You'd be all dead.
I'd have to just dance around for 3 minutes, and then that dude is fucking winded, and that's when I'll take him.
The fact that you think you could dance around for 3 minutes is why you're wrong.
Dude, I would take him.
No, you would not.
That's that right there, me versus Kimbo Slice, that's a 3-round fight. You get into the third round, third minute, that motherfucker can't breathe.
Kimbo Slice gets on the ground. Let's say hypothetically you make it to the third round. Kimbo Slice gets exhausted, falls to the ground. You punch him, he feels nothing. You punch him again, he feels nothing.
I didn't say I was going to knock him out. I just said I'd win the fight.
How?
Armbar.
Shut up, dude. You couldn't get him in an armbar.
Yeah, I could.
He would get, you know, you would try and get him in an armbar, and he would just stand up and smash you against the side.
That's not fucking legal, guy. You can't do that.
What do you mean you can't do that?
I'd get him in a fucking guillotine. He'd be done.
Get him into a guillotine. He would still kick your ass, dude.
He wouldn't. He already can't breathe. Applying pressure to the neck, he's done that much faster.
All he needs to do is lean on you, dude. You could not handle that much body weight on you.
He's
oh my fucking gosh. You have such a high opinion of yourself that you're going to say you can fight Kimbo Slice.
Rear naked choke in the third round. I would get behind him, right?
Yeah.
Put in a perfect technique, rear naked choke. All he's doing is laying on me, but him laying on me is only making the choke tighter.
Yeah.
He already can't breathe because we're in the third round. He's winded as fuck. He has no athleticism. He has punching power. He has one punch power.
You think you have enough that? Okay, You're saying that you could dodge Kimbo Slice for an hour, but you have probably as much athleticism as Kimbo Slice has, so you would have a hard time dodging him for 3 rounds.
Incorrect, sir.
Oh, there's okay. No way you could land. There's no way your arms are big enough, Zach, to get around his neck to do any damage.
Well, no, that's where you're wrong. He's pretty decomposed right now, so I imagine I'd have a chance.
Nor could you land a punch that could do any damage to him.
Well, I'm not trying to knock him out. Like I already said, I already know I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to choke in the third round. He's done.
Yeah.
Tire him out. He's done.
You say so.
Dude.
Speaking of which, did you guys see Nate Robinson get knocked out?
I did. Second round. What do you think of that?
I think that guy's an idiot.
Nate Robinson?
No, the other guy that knocked him out.
Something Paul?
Yeah. He's an idiot.
What's his name?
That's what I think.
Logan Paul?
Logan Paul?
Okay. Yeah. He's boasting on the internet that he knocks out a guy that's not a professional boxer.
No, I'm pretty sure that it was Jake Paul.
I don't think so.
I think it's Logan Paul.
He's boasting about how great of a fighter he is because he knocks out in a celebrity match someone who's not a real boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And then calls out, like, the best fighters in the world and says that he could fight them? That's stupider than me saying I could take Kimbo Slice.
No, this was Jake Paul.
That is stupider. You're right. It's Jake Paul? I thought it was Logan Paul.
It was Jake Paul.
Oh. Either way, he's an idiot. I'm sure if he listens to the show, you're an idiot.
Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather is on for some reason.
You cannot fight Conor McGregor. That's just the dumbest thing you've ever said.
What's going on? He said he could fight Conor McGregor.
He called him out and was like, I could take him. No, you couldn't.
Oh my god, I want to see that so bad. Isn't he gonna fight? Isn't he gonna fight Floyd Mayweather?
I don't know.
That's another bad move, guys.
No, Google that. Worst move. Chris, that is probably the worst move.
Chris, Google that right now. I almost swore I saw that today.
I'm Googling that right now.
Dude, I could take Floyd Mayweather.
ESPN, Floyd Mayweather Jr. sets exhibition bouts against YouTuber Logan Paul.
Dude, there you go.
That's legit. There you go.
He's going to destroy that kid.
There's no way Floyd Mayweather goes all out, right?
Oh, I think he should.
I'm wrong. I'd like to see it.
Dude, I don't think, like, all Floyd would have to do is give him two really, like, pressured minutes, and I think he would collapse.
Okay, here's my question. Does Logan Paul think he's that good at boxing to where he could challenge Floyd Mayweather? Or is Floyd Mayweather just doing this for the money?
Both. I think it's probably he wants the
both. I mean, I'm down with both. Hear me wrong. You put Floyd Mayweather in a ring with anybody who's anybody for
it's
2 minutes.
It's just
I'll probably
going to be
watch.
Great because everyone wants to see this kid get his ass kicked, which is exactly what's going to happen, and he deserves it.
No, I bet he takes it easy on him. I bet Floyd takes it easy on him.
If I was Floyd, what do you?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why he would do that.
He's not trying to have a career anymore. He's basically done. He's retired.
Dude, he's one of the richest athletes on the planet. Of course,
like,
he's
why,
retired.
Why? What reason does he have to take it easy on this kid?
That's a good question. I think it all depends on the animosity of Logan Paul. If Logan Paul legitimately is calling him out, and like. If Logan Paul is calling him out, if Logan Paul starts to talk shit about Floyd Mayweather, I think he goes all out. Otherwise, I think Floyd Mayweather takes it easy on him. He's one of the greatest boxers of all time.
I think Floyd should throw it so that, like, this kid's like, oh, yeah, I'd be Floyd Mayweather in an exhibition match. And then he gets, like, cockier and cockier. And then someone, they finally just stop throwing these fights. Someone fights him for real. And then they just knock him out.
He just keeps getting these easy matches because people keep tossing him until the one guy who's so annoyed. Yeah, and Logan Paul is so cocky that finally somebody's just like, yeah, I'm not joking. Like, I'm not going to throw this fight. You are going to be destroyed. I hope you're ready.
You should fight John Jones.
Oh, my gosh. Bloodbath, dude. That's not strictly standing up. John Jones would, like... I think John Jones would purposely not have it end on the ground.
I think John Jones would knock him out in like a minute.
Yeah. I'd be excited to see that.
That's the biggest problem I have with these stupid celebrity things is that they're like, they have the dumbest rules in place.
Yeah.
Like, no, we don't want...
25 second rounds.
We don't want you to do any damage to the other person. Then why am I watching this?
Yeah. If it was like... And the thing is that I would never pay to watch like a legitimate match. Like, I would pay to watch, like, a UFC match, but I would never pay to watch a legitimate boxing match. I just wouldn't. I'm not interested. I would pay to watch a legitimate boxer face somebody who is not a legitimate boxer any day of the week.
It's hilarious.
It's so funny. And if it was a legitimate fight, I would pay to see that 10 times out of 10. If it was a real fight and not just, like, a, you know, sparring, like, where they're both, like, taking it relatively easy on each other. They're both going 100%. I'm in. Even if it's a 5 second knockout, I'm in. I pay $80 for that.
I think Logan Paul should fight Jackie Chan.
Logan Paul would fight. That'd be pretty interesting.
That'd be cool. That'd be dope.
I bet Jackie Chan could kick ass, dude.
I bet he'd destroy him.
You think he could still move around the way he used to?
There's only one way to find out. Make him fight Logan Paul. All
right, Jackie Chan.
Time to get into shape, big boy.
This is it. This is your opportunity.
Get into shape, old boy.
This is us calling for it right now. Give the people what they want.
Well, Zach, do you watch anything else this week?
Anyways, I started watching Letterkenny this week. I like it a lot. It's pretty funny. It's just a show about, like, Canadian hicks. I will say, I've tried watching it before with other people, and I thought that it was stupid. But I think the trick is, like, you can't start it in season 4. You have to start from the beginning. They establish so much slang that, like, is so consistent throughout that if you miss them setting it up, it will just not make any sense to you. Like, half the show is just slang that you have to have picked up from out the seasons.
Yeah, it's a lot of inside jokes.
I've heard like some people say that it's pretty funny, but I've never watched it.
I think it's hilarious. It's like, it's very witty, and like, it's very like, they're, it's very fast paced. They're always throwing something out. So you like, I don't know, there's always something to laugh at. Like, Squirrely Dan's hilarious.
Squirrely Dan's the funniest. Oh my gosh, one of the first. Okay, here is one of the funniest parts in that entire show. The part where they're in the bar and they're having that competition to see who can get laid first. Whoever does gets $50 off their bar tab. And Wayne, at the very end, that girl comes up to him and she's trying to get with him. And then she walks away. And then Modine's bar.
Yeah.
The bartender looks at me like, dang, girl, you shit out of that ass. It's part of that whole thing, but the same episode, Squirrely Dan's are sitting there and they're talking about life advice to each other, and Squirrely Dan goes, life advice, it's really hard to get tuna out of your dick hole.
I love the episode where they're trying to find Sammy a stud, and like, they suggest like drugging her so that she's more calm, and then Squirrely Dan gets like all upright about like, it's basically like roofing a dog and that women have rights, and it's so funny.
Miss Patricia wouldn't be have a fit right now if she heard this.
It's a funny show. I would recommend it.
It's on Hulu, yeah?
It's on Hulu. They're 20-minute episodes. There's only 7 episodes in a season.
They're super easy watches. The only thing that I have a problem with every once in a while is the hockey guys.
Yeah.
They get a little old for me after a while, but every once in a while they'll kick in and be funny again.
Nice.
Except for Shorzy. I laugh at Shorzy so much.
The gay preacher's hilarious, too.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love those guys. Ooh. There's a new season coming up, too, I think.
Yeah, the day after Christmas.
Are you fucking... The day after Christmas?
Comes out on Hulu.
I didn't know that. Shit, that's something to look forward to. Anyway, Jake...
Let's get at her.
I only have one thing that I really watched. I watched The Gentlemen, directed by Guy Ritchie, and it's got Matthew McConaughey in it and Charlie Hunnam.
I wanted to watch that one.
I wasn't like overly impressed with it. Like, I've never really been a fan of Guy Ritchie's directing style. And it's definitely pretty Guy Ritchie. There's an interesting, kind of like an interesting narrative that's taken for like, I would say like 3/4 of the movie. And so basically like the premise is that, so Matthew McConaughey plays this guy who's like an expatriate and he's like living in England and he's got this like really successful marijuana business and he's trying to get out of it. And the plot device is that Richard Grant plays a journalist who goes to Charlie Hunnam, who is Matthew McConaughey's like bodyguard, basically, or like his like right hand man, and is kind of like laying out, sort of like it, like jumps back in time and then kind of like tells you all these events that like, lead up to it, and he's kind of like revealing how he knows this stuff, and is basically trying to get Charlie Hunnam to like pay him money to help like protect him from shit. So like it's like semi entertaining. There's like a couple of moments where I like laughed and chuckled, but for the most part, I think it's like overly complicated and takes a lot of liberties with things. And it just wasn't really for me. Chris, I'm not sure if you'd like. I mean, I don't know. I could see you liking. I could see you disliking it. So it's hard to say. I guess you would just have to watch it and tell me.
For me, I think it would all boil down to the runtime. Like, how long is it?
I think it's 2 hours or just shy of hour 45, maybe.
I might be able to like it then. Because, like, he's one of those directors where his style is completely all his own. Like, over the top his own.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, him, Wes Anderson.
Oh, yeah, he definitely has his own style. I can't deny him of that. It's just not a style that I particularly enjoy.
I understand that.
But there's, I was just thinking something, Colin Farrell is really good in it. I think he's, like, probably one of the main standouts. Like, he's, like, not even supposed to be, but he just happens to be. And then, I mean, like, I think, like, the cast is great. Like, I think the, like, all the acting is great. Like, I don't have any problem with that. And there's, like, there are some pretty fun scenes. But it's just, like, the movie as a whole, like, it's pretty generic. Nothing, like, you really haven't seen before. It was sort of just Guy Ritchie's spin on it.
Yeah.
But hey, when it's $7.99 on 4K on Black Friday, you buy it, right?
You buy it.
You buy it.
Chris, do you have anything else that you watched?
A couple things. I watched the animated movie Turbo.
Oh yeah, I've seen like half of that.
It's bad. I watched the whole thing, though. It's about a snail that wants to be a race car. There's a twist at the end that's so stupid.
What's the twist?
The twist is that the race car driver he admires the whole time turns out to be a bad guy.
Oh, fuck.
The snail
I hate when that happens.
I don't know. The snail ends up winning the race in the end. Not just any race, the Daytona 500, I might add. They let a snail race the Daytona 500.
Sure.
That sounds like Ford v Ferrari. Is that what you watched?
Basically, dude. No, but Ryan Reynolds plays the voice of the snail.
I'm already out.
Paul Giamatti, although Samuel Jackson and Snoop Dogg play the voice of two snails, which is kind of interesting.
Do you think that a movie with two snails, one is Paul Giamatti, the other one is David Cross?
Oh, work. David Cross.
That would work.
Yeah, that depends on the premise.
No, Turbo, but instead of Ryan Reynolds, it's David Cross.
Like, from fucking Big Mouth.
Like, from Kung Fu Panda.
Who am I thinking of?
You guys have the most insane David Cross references.
Like David Cross from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, from like My Name is Earl?
Dave, dude, do you know who he is now, Chris? Can you picture him?
Yeah, he's in basically every Kevin Smith movie.
He's Tobias from what's that show? Fucking
the guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Scary Movie 2.
Is he?
I think so. He plays the guy in the wheelchair.
He does the voice of Zero in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Yep.
Show me a picture.
Now that's a deep cut.
Show me a picture of David Cross.
You know who he is.
Is he in Arrested Development?
Yeah, he is in Arrested Development.
He's Tobias.
Okay.
He's Tobias.
Then yeah, he's in Scary Movie too. He's
there. Whatever references can we pull out for David Cross?
I think I was wrong on all my references, if I'm being completely honest. Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, he's in Megamind, that's right.
Who's he in Megamind? Oh, he plays the fish guy.
Yeah. He's the crane in Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, I could mess with him being...
He's skipping Big Mouth.
Who's he in Big Mouth?
Skip.
I was thinking of a different guy. Who's skipping Big Mouth?
I don't know.
Oh, I watched the new season of Big Mouth, too.
Always a new season.
Oh, how is it?
Some of it's funny. A lot of it's just kind of rehashing old stuff, but they introduce this... Every season they have, like, a constant, you know? And, like, a new character that's a constant throughout the entire season. But, like, the character they introduced this year is, like, the anxiety mosquito, and I'm just not that interested with it.
Okay.
But, like, the last season they had the guilt wizard or something, and I thought that was so much more funny.
Is this the third season now?
No, this is the fourth.
Fourth.
Oh, fuck. I saw the first season and watched some of the second, and then that's where I stopped.
That's kind of, I mean, it's fine. I mean, there's a couple parts that I think are pretty funny. Like, there's a couple parts where they take it to the absolute extreme. So, sure. Like, Andrew, I think his name, yeah, Andrew, his whole thing is that, like, he masturbates all the fucking time. And there's a part in the season where he goes to his grandfather's funeral, and his grandfather's ghost comes out of his body to tell him that he needs to masturbate in order to relieve his stress. So he's in this room with his dead grandfather, and he just starts fucking jerking it. And then his parents walk through the door as he's masturbating with his dead grandfather in the same room. And I lost it. Like, I lost it. It was so funny.
I think there are, like, elements of that show that are funny. But I think, like, it's basically a Family Guy could swear is the main problem that I have with it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it's all the same shit all the time.
Mm.
It's like dick and cum jokes constantly.
And I get enough of that from Family Guy. Like,
it literally just gets so old. It's so repetitive.
Unless it's Family Guy, in which case I love it every time.
I mean, I guess, like, what kept me interested is I love John Mulaney. And then I think the Fred Armisen character is hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he has a funny part in this movie, too.
Oh, the dad? Yeah, he was pretty funny.
There's one part where they're having up. Oh, never mind. I'll just let you guys watch it.
I don't
Thank
know.
You. Chris, you want to see what I think you'll think are like some of my top two Black Friday purchases?
Sure. I'm down with that. That speech at the end. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Any Given Sunday, and then last, like, rent. This was the only copy at Best Buy.
Dodgeball?
The unrated version.
Dude, this could totally be in our NCAA tournament of sports movies.
This is the start. This is how it all starts.
Yeah, that's why I bought those two for that tournament.
How many teams are there? 64?
That's a lot of sports movies. I mean, we don't have to rewatch all the 64 things to do this contest, do we?
No, each episode is a matchup. We pick the winner at the end.
Oh, that's right.
So you're watching two at a time.
I'm down with that, then. Take up the whole year, but...
Take up a while.
I'm pretty sure it would take up more than a year.
It'd take us 32 weeks just to get through... just to get through the round of 64.
Yeah, and then we have a round of 32. And then a round of 16... No, 2 years. 2.5 years. Sure. Let's do it, guys.
Never All right, so here we go. Well, after we do the 100th episode, let's put Film and Loathing on hold and then start a new podcast where we just talk about that tournament.
I honestly think we should stop this podcast and do one called The Scorpion King Verse. Like, I'm still down with that.
Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about that you watched?
I can briefly mention that I watched, I rewatched Captain Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
I still really like Viggo Mortensen in the movie. I think he's great. I think, like, the problem that I had with it this time is that I've never been more repulsed by a group of people that I kind of think the same as. Like, I found every single one of these characters to be, like, so obnoxious and so pretentious, it's almost hard to get through. Hmm. Even though, like, I agree with what they're saying, if that makes sense.
Hmm. Just, like, more like its portrayal of things.
I like the idea of, like, a portrayal of alternative lifestyles and, like, how that may or may not be better for people. I mean, I think the movie kind of... I don't think the movie takes a stance on it, which is kind of... That's another thing that I have an issue with, which they kind of set up that idea, and then he immediately backs away from it.
Hmm.
But I mean, I love Viggo more. I love the scene at, like, with the funeral, and Viggo Mortensen ruining the funeral and the suit that he wears to the funeral. Some great full frontal nudity in it.
That's full frontal's good.
It's pretty good.
You can't go wrong with full frontal.
But yeah, I'm not crazy about it.
That is one I've been meaning to rewatch for a while.
I also think it's really poorly directed. Matthew Ross. A lot of handheld stuff, it just doesn't really make any sense for it to be handheld. And
handheld.
I would still come down and say that I like it, but just it came down a lot.
Anything else you got?
I rewatched Mr. Deeds.
Dude, me too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I like it, but in terms of Adam Sandler's filmography, it's nowhere near the top for me.
It's no Hubie Halloween.
It's no Hubie. It's no Zohan. I'll say that.
Gosh, I don't get your fascination with the Zohan.
It's no Jack and Jill. There's no Dunkachino equivalent scene.
Well, I mean, that's the best. That's like the top of Adam Sandler's filmography. So.
You like Mr. Deeds?
I love Mr. Deeds.
I don't really care. I do love the scene where he has like the frostbitten foot.
Oh my gosh!
He's like, go ahead, just stomp on it. And he like gets like really injured. He's like, feels good, doesn't it? He's like, now take the poker. He like jams the poker into his foot. He's like, oh my gosh,
you're sick. You're sick. How did you do? Oh, I'm just messing with you, man. I do have to say though, I have wanted for the longest time a Deeds Pizza T-shirt, and I've been keeping my eye out for one, but I've never found one.
I do. I love the scene where they go to that town in New Hampshire, and he's like, they meet that guy that's in every fucking Adam Sandler movie, the quarterback from Waterboy.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll take you to him. He goes in, and he's like, what are you doing here? I thought you were supposed to be sick today.
Oh, I forgot. I was faking sick today. That's fucking funny. That whole movie's good. Especially when he's talking to that lady on the computer. She's a little small town girl like me. Come on, Deeds, you better tap that ass, boy. She thought it was you. Oh, fuck. I love his relationship with Cecil. He was like, Cecil, I was dreaming of Frosties all night, man. What about you? I tried to make one at home, but it just wasn't the same. Or he's just like, the fax comes in and he pulls it out. He's just like, does anyone here know a Dr. Mendelsohn? You have a spastic colon. Congratulations. That would explain a lot. Oh, good shit.
It has its moments, but like as a whole, I don't know. It's not top, probably 10 for me.
I'd say it's probably top 10 for me.
It's no Happy Gilmore.
It's no 50 First Dates, which is the other Adam Sandler movie I watched this week.
50, that one's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
I think there's room for that to actually be a dramatic movie, if I'm being completely honest. But there's too much comedy gold in that. I will say the Adam Sandler. In any Adam Sandler movie, there's one moment in this where I laugh the hardest out of any other. And it wasn't even Adam Sandler. It was Dan Aykroyd. When they're talking about walruses, and he's just like, walruses have the largest they're the second largest penis of all land animals. I have the first. Dan, fucking
dude, I love Sean Astin in that movie.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so good.
He's on steroids.
What would you tell my friend if I were to tell you my friend has been having wet dreams a lot?
He takes a lot of steroids. He's been having a lot of wet dreams.
I would say, aren't you a little told to be having wet dreams, huh? Oh, shit.
I like when he's, they meet 10 Second Tom, and like he just keeps introducing himself, and after like the third time he introduces himself to Sean Astin, he's like, hey, you better watch yourself, Tom.
Oh, man.
That's one I haven't seen in so long.
Question. Is it really easier to buy 1,000 copies of the same newspaper and just repeat the same bit over and over again than it is just to say, hey, you're never going to remember this?
It's a very valid question.
Like, what happens when they run out of newspapers?
I mean, I was thinking the whole time, it's just like, there's a whole lot of stuff in the movie that's impractical. Like, sure, buying a one-time lump of 1,000 newspapers, whatever. But,
why do you need so many different newspapers? Why can't you just reuse the same one?
No, that's a good question.
That's true.
But, like, for me, it was they go into the garage every night and they paint that wall white every single night. That's so much paint. That's so much money. You think eventually she would be like, there'd be like an inch of paint on the wall.
Not only that, but like, they get done watching The Sixth Sense, right? She goes to bed. It's fucking midnight. They have to set up for the next day. Mm. These people sleep maybe 2 hours a day.
Yeah, it just seems like a whole. And they're a fisherman on top of this, so they're out on the ocean for months apparently. How are they having a steady income?
That's true. This movie is so fucked. Mm-hmm. If you have logistical problems with Fat Man, you should have logistical problems with this movie.
I very much do. I still love it though. Friggin' Rob Schneider in this movie is absolutely hilarious.
I don't think you could do that today.
No, definitely not, but it's still funny. Oh,
Steve Buscemi and Mr. Deeds.
Oh, my crazy eyes.
Pepperoni and Oreo Deeds, my favorite.
What are you in for this time, crazy eyes? The mailman was trying to cast a spell on me. Now that I think about it, he could have just been waving.
What if he bites the mailman? That's why he's in jail?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Pretty good. Anything else you guys watched?
No, I'm good.
That's it.
Are we doing Mank next week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see it.
Mank it up.
All right. Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. All right. Well, as always, thanks for joining us on another week of Film and Loathing. And until next week, where we review Mank, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.